Good evening. I stood up and I thought one of you guys grabbed a hold of me or something. I had my lapel mic fell out of my pocket and it's pulling me backwards. So sorry if you saw that. We are going to be tonight continuing our series on witnessing. I have not yet decided what I'm going to do next week. This may conclude the series. There may be one more. I have one more that at least I have started. I don't know if there will be a second one, which would make 9. 8 is a good round number for me because if I do a gospel meeting, it's typically 8 lessons, and so it makes a good gospel meeting series with 8. But I have not decided yet what I'm going to do for next week. I've got a couple of different things in mind, but I hope you have enjoyed talking about some of these people that were witnesses in Scripture, and hopefully it has been a benefit and a help to you, as it always is to me in studying for it. But tonight, we're going to look at Acts chapter 16, so if you have your Bibles open there, it would be a good place to mark them. And we're going to talk about Lydia, who witnessed through hospitality. So far, within this series of lessons, we have looked at what a witness is. And we have realized that a witness is not maybe typically what the religious world we think of as far as witnessing. Somebody may say, you know, let me witness for a moment, and they'll tell this big, long story about themselves and all the terrible things that they had done in their life. And then eventually they would get to the point where they might mention Jesus along the way somewhere. That's not really what a witness is. That's not really what witnessing is. What witnessing is, in the biblical sense, is telling Jesus' story that might have a little bit of our own life sprinkled in. When oftentimes we hear it the exact opposite of that, where it's our story and we sprinkle in Jesus when we can. We looked at Stephen being a witness, and instead of defending himself while he was being stoned to death, he was a witness through that persecution, continuing to talk about God, continuing to talk about Jesus, to the point that what really upset them was when it says that he looked up into heaven and he saw they saw Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's what really sent them over the edge. And so he continued to witness even through persecution. We looked at Peter opening the door to the Gentiles in witnessing to them. We looked at, as I mentioned this morning, Paul busting through that door and opening up an entire wall to say there's really no more wall anymore. Not only did Peter open the door, but Paul just blew out the wall, and now the gospel is available to all. We looked at Barnabas and how he was a witness to witnesses. He witnessed to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we don't always have to witness to somebody that doesn't know about Christ. We can certainly be an encouragement to those of our brothers and sisters in Christ who may need some uplifting, who may need some encouragement. And then this morning, we looked at a woman named Dorcas or Tabitha, depending on whether you want to use her given Arabic name or her Greek name. But she was a witness with good deeds. And so Lydia tonight. Lydia meets Paul and Silas as they meet for prayer on the Sabbath day. Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate to the riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. I want us to note that good things happen when we pray. When we go somewhere or when we take the time to pray, good things will happen. And again, that doesn't mean that you know, God is going to just immediately erase everything that's in front of us. But I will tell you that good things will happen when you go to God in prayer. And this was going to be, and she didn't probably realize it at this moment in time, but this was going to be the best day of Lydia's life. Paul and Silas were just looking for some people to preach to. Now, the Jewish rule was to have a synagogue you needed at least 10 male Jews to be able to have a synagogue. So if there was no synagogue, if there weren't at least 10 male Jews in that particular area, there was no synagogue, they would typically have some sort of place of prayer to go to. So if somebody, you know, a handful of Jewish men, or possibly as it seems here, just a group of women who were Jews, they would find a place to go and to pray. And so Paul and Silas are just looking for some people to teach. They ran across these few women who were praying. I want to look tonight to see what made Lydia a good witness. The first thing that I want us to note is that Lydia opened her ears. In verse 14, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, notice this phrase, was listening. Not everybody is going to willingly listen to a message. Now, I'm not one that really notices things, so I've had many people come to me and say, you know, oh, I apologize if I was nodding off. You know, it wasn't you, or, you know, I typically don't notice it. But I will say that there are times when you look out into the crowd and you can just tell that somebody is not listening. Listen, I don't blame you. I've heard my own lessons and I get bored to tears sometimes. I feel sorry for the kids that I teach in the class that I teach, because it is a boring class anyway. And so sometimes, you know, I feel bad for them knowing that they're listening to me somewhere and are just bored to death, I'm sure. But it's material that they need to know. This is material that we need to know. And we can't focus on, well, you know, who's prayer. I don't like this particular style, or we need to listen to God's message. And not everyone is willing to listen. There are times when you look out and you can just tell that maybe even it's not even me, but that somebody before they walked in here thought, I am not going to listen to this message. I don't care who's up there or what they have to say, I'm simply not going to listen to the message. And believe it or not, I've seen people who spend most of the service on their phone, and you say one thing that clicks and they pop up for a second. Oh, that was something that I either agree with, or you know, that I heard, or that somebody's going to ask me about later, and then they'll pop right back down. And so not everybody is going to listen. We get that. But she was. She had her ears open and she was listening. Part of that, at least I believe, was that Lydia is a successful businesswoman. Think about this. Here is a Gentile from Thyatira and she's now living in Philippi. How did she get there? Well, she is a successful businesswoman. And I will tell you that successful business people, successful people in general, listen to other people. They probably listen to more than they talk. And you've probably been in a group, and I've felt this way, have a gospel meeting, hold a gospel meeting somewhere, and there are other preachers in the audience. And most of the time, I think, you know what? I should be sitting down and you should be up here. Why am I holding this meeting if you're going to be here? You should be up here. But I will tell you that most of those men who are gospel preachers, who I really, really like and really admire and think a lot of, will say, no, I need to listen too. I need this message just as much as you do. And so they don't think of it in that way, and that's probably why they're successful. This woman is successful, I believe, at least in part, because she's willing to listen. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Now listen, you can go through and read the book of Proverbs, and if you're talking to somebody that's not really, doesn't have a religious background really, that is maybe skeptical of you know, certain religious things, listen, Proverbs is a good book to tell them to start with. Because it is basic wisdom. It is basic knowledge that not only is good religiously, but is also just good in general. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. How do we become wise? Not talk all the time. Listen to counsel and accept discipline. That will cause you to be wise. And again, as we've already mentioned, how many preachers have we ignored in our life? Because maybe it was something personal, but maybe we just didn't like their style. I prefer somebody else's style. I don't prefer, this particular style. And listen, if I'm being honest, the style of preacher that I like is probably not the style of preacher that you like. And there's reasons for that. But I'm telling you, there are some people that I've walked away out of a meeting, and some people will say, "Ugh, I was bored all week, and I thought I was glued to every word that man said." And vice versa, sometimes. But I want us to understand that it's not about the people. It's not about who is presenting. It's not about the style that this man is using. And listen, if I've ever been asked, like if somebody is getting ready to begin preaching, and they come to me and say, "I'm getting ready to start preaching, and you've got some experience in that, and I don't have any experience. What advice would you give me?" Be yourself. Don't be a different person up here than you are down there, because people will see right through that. So I can't give you a style. Now, there are certain things that you do as a public speaker. You want to look up at your audience, and you want to smile every once in a while, right? We get those little tips and tricks. You don't want to move around too much. I blow that out of the water. I walk all the time, I know. But there are certain tips and tricks. But what I tell people, in all honesty, is be yourself when you're up here. Don't be somebody else. Don't try to be like your favorite. Just be you and present the message that you have studied. Talk about things that interest you and that have caused you to understand. That's why I talk about sports all the time. I see connections there all the time. Or talk about music because I see connections, because it's something that I enjoy. But I want you to understand, we cannot ignore, no matter what style, no matter what the person is, or whether you have personal issues with this person or not, don't let God's message go. Don't let it fall on deaf ears. We need to listen to God's message. And if you are somebody who has said, I don't like this person, or I don't like this style, and so I'm not going to listen to a thing that this person says, let me ask you, in those instances, who did you prove your point to? Who did you put your foot down and say, I didn't listen to a thing that you said, or I disagreed with everything that you said, or whatever. So I'm not going to listen to your message to me. Who did you prove your point to? Did you prove it to me? No, you probably didn't even talk to me about it. You proved that point to yourself and to God. That because it was a specific person that was teaching or preaching that message, I didn't listen to your message, God. Even though it was your message that was coming to me, I didn't listen because of who was bringing that message. Don't do that. Be like Lydia. Open your ears. This is a Gentile woman listening to two Jewish men, which wouldn't have always been the case. The Gentiles knew what the Jews believed about them, but she didn't care. She wanted to hear God's message no matter who was delivering it to her. So again, if we're going to be good witnesses, we need to open our ears more than we open our mouths in many cases. I know, the preacher is saying that, right? The one that stands up there and talks all the time, he's telling us we should listen more. Now, I need to listen too, just as much as everyone else. Even to myself, I need to listen. because it's still God's message. We find her also being a good witness because she opened not only her ears, but she opened her heart to what was being said. Again, verse 14 of Acts chapter 16. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her heart to respond. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 verses 12 and 13. It says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Lydia was searching with all of her heart to find God, and God allowed her to find Him. He opened her heart because she opened her ears to listen. Again, we've mentioned it before, right? This is a Gentile. Okay, so there's strike one against her. It is a woman. There's strike two. And she's at a Jewish prayer meeting. And what did she find while she was there? Now tell me that God doesn't work in mysterious ways. She is a Gentile woman at a Jewish prayer meeting, and somehow she finds Christianity. She finds Christ being a Gentile woman at a Jewish prayer meeting. Now only God works like that. You can find His Son if you are looking for Him. And you can do that anywhere. God will meet you where you are. And we tell people that, and sometimes I'm nervous about telling people that God will meet you where you are, because I don't want you to think that you can stay there. You can't stay there. God will meet us in our sinful state, and He will lead us to who we need to be. He will lead us to where we need to be. But don't think that just because God will meet you where you are that you get to stay there. Well, God came down and He met me right where I was in all of my sins, so I'll just stay here, right? No, He will come and get you and lead you to where you need to be. You have to follow Him. You know the way, right? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." That's what He told His own disciples. You know the way that I'm going because I am the way. So you have to follow me to get there, but I will meet you where you are in all of your sin. And it's interesting that some people will also say, "You know what? I just need some time to get my life together, and then I'll become a Christian." You can't get your life together without becoming a child of God. It doesn't work that way. You have to let Him come get you. You can't fix part of yourself by yourself and then assume that everything will be okay. You have to let God come and get you. So I ask the question for us: are our hearts open? If not, if our hearts are not open, it doesn't matter how much hearing we do. The hearing will never matter if our hearts are not open. If our hearts are not truly open, then we will never truly find Jesus. Our hearts have to truly be open for us to be able to do that. Finally, I believe that this woman was a good witness, not only because she opened her ears and she opened her heart. When she became a child of God, she opened her home to others. Let's look at verse 15 of Acts chapter 16. "And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. This new woman has invited people into her home. People that she apparently had just met. And she invited them into her home. Hospitality is a powerful means of witnessing. Now, I want you to understand that this is a very strong word that is used here. Two strong words, actually, that are used here. When it says, she urged us, and then again, she prevailed upon us. Because typically, these two words are used as a rebellious word. Somebody rebels against something. It's very strong. It is very firm. Right? Listen, she's a saleswoman. She understands urgency. She understands how to convince someone of something. And that's exactly what she did. Allow me to be hospitable to you. She prevailed upon them. She prevailed over them. Are we witnessing through our hospitality to one another and to strangers, to those who may be outside of the faith that we have? In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, we read a little bit about this hospitality. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Not necessarily just even offering hospitality, but practicing hospitality. It doesn't always mean inviting someone into your home, but there is a sense of the word that just simply means taking care of someone else. Do you think the Good Samaritan practiced hospitality? Do you think we would consider the Good Samaritan a hospitable person? Did he ever invite that man into his own home? No. He basically bought him a hotel room for however long he needed to get better. And he paid someone to take care of this man. He was off doing other things. He had business to be on. But he was still practicing hospitality. So don't think that we have to have somebody come into our home to be able to practice hospitality. There are other ways to take care of people, but that's the basic idea behind it. To take care of other people. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2, we're told, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Isn't that something? And we may look and say, well, things like that don't happen, nowadays. Even if they don't. Even if it's not an angel that you're practicing hospitality to. God still sees it. God still knows whether or not we're taking care of other people when we can. Here's a woman who probably assumes that these men are not going to allow her to be hospitable because she is a woman, because she is a Gentile. Because up to that point, she was at least praying. And again, there's no reason to assume that she was some sort of Jewish proselyte even. But she was worshiping, she was praying with other Jewish women at some point. So there's no reason to assume anything that she would be accepted by Paul and by Silas. But she still tries. She still offers. She still makes a good sales pitch. This woman was a good listener. She opened her ears. I've always said the best coaches are coaches who listen to the people that they hire. Most of the best coaches are not people that, as far as football is concerned, they're not going to call all of the plays. They're not going to call the offensive plays. They're not going to call the defensive plays. They're going to let somebody else do that. But they're good at picking out who's good at it and who's not. they're not always going to do everything. A good coach will always listen. Gene Ford, who was just a top-notch basketball coach in Ohio for a long time, lots and lots of wins. His sons are really good coaches as well. I was with a friend of Gene's. I didn't know Gene very well at the time, but I was with a friend of his, and he invited us to come and sit down at the end of his bench one night. It was standing room only. It was a really big game. And he invited us to come down and sit at the end of his bench just so we would have a seat, because the man that I was with really wanted to go. And so Gene said, just come. There's not going to be a ticket, but just come and sit on the end of the bench. We'll just throw out a couple more chairs for you. During the game, and this was a good game, it was a tight game, and in the fourth quarter, he comes down to the end of the bench and looks at me, who he does not know, and said, what would you do right now? Why me? He said, I'm just curious. I'm just curious to see what you would do. So I told him what I would do, and he didn't do it. Thankfully, they won the game. He didn't do what I suggested, but I believe with all my heart that he listened to it. He may not have done it, but he listened. Because he not only asked me, but he asked his friend that was sitting there as well. And he went down the line. What would you do? What would you do? And he was listening. He was trying to figure out what he wanted to do. What he felt would be the best idea. Listening is important. We need to listen to what God has to tell us. Even when we're reading to someone else, even right now, I need to be listening to what God is telling me through His Word, even while I'm speaking to you. But it doesn't do us any good to listen if we're not going to open our hearts to do or to accept what God is telling us to do. And then we find her opening her home, acting on what she had heard and what God was telling her to do. You know, we've looked at two witnesses today. Both of them, Dorcas or Tabitha, whichever name you want to use for her, and then Lydia, both of them were female. You know, sometimes I know, ladies, that it's difficult. You may say, well, there's not a place, right, in the church for me to stand up and to give a lesson. There's not a place in the church for me to stand up and you know, lead singing or offer a public prayer. So what is it that I can do? Let me just tell you that there are plenty of things that you can do. I talk about this all the time. The five most influential Christians, people in my life, especially Christian, top five. Now, I don't know who number six is. She may also be a woman. But there's my mother. There's my sister. There's my grandmother. There is my Aunt Vess. And there's my wife. Those are the five most influential Christians in my life. They're the reason that I'm standing up here. Now, there have been some influential men in my life. But please don't tell me, ladies, that there's nothing for you to do. There is plenty to do. These are two examples of things that you can do. But I want you to understand, men, that these are not just female activities either. It is for us to be hospitable as well. It is for us to practice good deeds, like we talked about this morning. It is for us as well as for the ladies. But there's plenty of things that we can do. We need to be willing to be hospitable to others. And we need to care for other people the best that we can. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, please understand that we cannot be hospitable in the way that we need to be until we become a child of God. What were all those good deeds for? Why? What we talked about this morning, what we talked about tonight, where does the glory go, right? So that they may see your good deeds, as Jesus told us this morning, in Matthew chapter 5, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the purpose. That's the reason that we do them. And if you are not a child of God, then there's no way that we can reflect back on Him. We need to be a child of God so that we can give glory to God when we do these things. And we can say that. We can say, I give all the glory to God by the deeds that we do. But unless we are truly children of His, then there's no reflection there. Think about it in the earthly sense. If I called up Bill Gates and said, hey, when you die, how much money do I get? He's going to say, none. You're not an heir. I don't know you. Well, I talk about you all the time. I tell everybody how brilliant you are, and I use your stuff all the time. Doesn't that count for something? No. Let's not do that with God. Become a child of His. Give your life over to Him, and you can do that this very night by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight and you are a child of God, maybe you've been doing some things that don't give God the glory. We have time and opportunity to make those things right tonight. If you're here tonight and you're subject to God's invitation in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing?